Why do we have elders? Of course, maybe you don't know what an elder is. Oh, that's easy. It's an old guy. Well, the word is used that way in Scripture. When you get to the New Testament in particular, the word elder is interchangeable with the word overseer. And in the local church, elders were overseers. They managed the church. Now you define church. Church isn't the building. It isn't the campus. It isn't the programs. It isn't the budget. It isn't all of that stuff. Though that may be involved in a particular local church, that's not what the church is. The church is God's people with their various gifting, as was just read for us. The church are the redeemed, the saved, Christians. The local church are the Christians in a given area who gather together. And elders are those who oversee or manage them in the sense of caring for their souls. But why do it that way? Many churches don't have elders. Or they might have elders, but they don't function the way it is spelled out in Scripture. I remember in seminary, much to my surprise, because I went to a seminary that was committed to the Word, to understanding the Word, and preaching the Word. They made us learn the languages, that meaning Greek and Hebrew, not the street language, not foul language, but the original languages, so that you can study as deeply as possible and be sure that you know what's being said in that passage. And so I was very surprised. I was only a couple years old in the faith when I went to seminary, when my one professor in one class said that as far as the church goes and how it's structured or governed, you really can do it a number of ways. There's no one way for it to be structured and governed. That surprised me because I kept reading about these guys called elders in Scripture. I thought, well, if that's what's in Scripture, why do it a different way? Which leads you to the simple answer, of course. Why do we have elders? Well, because it's biblical. And that's a good answer. We should know then and trust then that whatever is biblical means whatever is according to God's will, and that whatever is according to God's will is what's best for us and for His glory. So that's the answer. Well, what I hope you'll see today is how having elders works to God's glory and is what's best for the church. Because there's a particular passage in Acts that mentions the Holy Spirit. And it stuck out to me. Why? Because I've been studying the passages where the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul is speaking to the elders from the church in the town of Ephesus. And he says something that's rather striking. If you happen to know what it says in Acts chapter 14. Let's read Acts 14 first. Acts 14, 23, or you can just listen. It's just one little verse. But it is in God's Word. I'm not making this up. Acts 14, 23. After there was an attempt on Paul's life using large rocks in Lystra, he went on to Derbe. And verse 23 says, "And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they have believed." You get a little glimpse into how things went on this missionary journey, as we call it, for Paul. Arrive in a town, and you might recall, first place they would go, if there was one, was the synagogue. If there wasn't one, hey, find out where people hang out to pray, particularly Jews. That's where they met Lydia, down the river. But if there was a synagogue, they went there. And sooner or later, they got run out of the synagogue by the Jews who didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the promised one, the descendant of David, the Savior of Israel. They would run Paul out. And they would run him out of the synagogue, and then he would be preaching wherever he could in the town. And eventually, he often got run out of the town. But whether he got run out of the town or he just left, apparently, before they left the towns they were in, they, Paul and Barnabas in particular, appointed elders. Now we read Acts 20, verse 28, Paul speaking to the elders from Ephesus, and he says to them, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer." Do you see that? The Holy Spirit made them overseers. Now, he's talking to the elders. There you have that word is interchangeable. Verse 17 says, "Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him." In verse 28, he is telling them that the Holy Spirit made them overseers. So whether it's the term elder or overseer, it's the same concept. It's referring to the same man with the same role in the local church. The point being here in verse 28 is that the Holy Spirit makes men, appoints men as elders, as overseers. Of course, that actually should be surprising to us at this point, should it be? A little review, a little walk down memory lane. What I hope you have heard and learned regarding the Holy Spirit and His role from the book of Acts is that the Holy Spirit has a very unique role when it comes to the proclamation of the Word of God. That was true even in the life of Jesus. Acts 1-2, Jesus spoke by the Holy Spirit. So even when the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, God incarnate, Jesus, the God-man, spoke, and He spoke the Word of God to people, it was by the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts 1, He tells the disciples, don't go anywhere and say anything. Just wait. Just wait for the Holy Spirit. Then you will be my witnesses. Then you will bear witness to me. Then you will testify that I am Lord in Christ after the Holy Spirit comes. I like the way it's recorded in the end of Luke. He says, you will be clothed with power or ability and enablement from on high. How does that come about? By the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in the believer. And then lo and behold, what you have in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit comes, they speak. Everyone there is speaking about God. And then we also saw particular instances of a special empowering. And the English has it this way: filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, there he was before the very men who had Jesus tortured to death. And he spoke clearly and plainly the truth about Jesus, so much that those who heard him were amazed. He spoke boldly. And when they were let go and warned, don't speak about Jesus anymore, they returned to the other disciples. They prayed together for boldness, and God gave it. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, they didn't all of a sudden get more of the Holy Spirit in them. I believe a better way to interpretively translate that would be they were empowered by the Holy Spirit in that particular instance for the task of proclaiming the truth about Jesus. It's very clear in the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit has a unique and particular role in the proclamation of God's Word. So actually, it shouldn't surprise us that the Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity behind the appointing of elders because of what elders do, because of their function related to the Word of God for the local body. We also saw that the Holy Spirit is the one given acknowledgement when a particular man is noted as being characterized by Christ-likeness. The English there is full. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit. Barnabas, full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was evident in their life. How? They looked like Christ. It's very convicting, as Mike read 1 Corinthians 13, the one particular thing that love is not that stood out to me was irritable. Because I've been easily irritable lately. You might say, oh, well, you got it. No, I have no excuse. Because the Spirit of God dwells in me. I may not be perfect. If we sin, we confess our sin. We acknowledge it before God, and we're forgiven. But the Holy Spirit is to be evident in the person's life, every believer's life. But some men really stood out there in the book of Acts. And lo and behold, once again, we shouldn't be surprised that the Holy Spirit is behind appointing elders. Because if you read the qualifications for elders in 1 Timothy chapter 3, I think it is. Yes. Titus chapter 1. Really, the qualifications for elders, apart from able to teach, are the same characteristics that every Christian is to aspire to, because they describe Christ, who, as is made very clear by Luke and Acts, lived the life he lived by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, theologically, logically, making deductions, putting things together, it shouldn't at all surprise us that the Holy Spirit is behind elders being appointed in the local church. But this isn't just a deduction. This isn't just a logical conclusion. It is blatantly stated here in Acts 20, 28. The Holy Spirit makes men overseers, appoints them as overseers or elders. Why the Holy Spirit? Because of what I just said. If you understand what an elder is to do, you understand that's the particular area where the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is at work. He has a particular role in that area, which Paul brings out in this very passage. Again, verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. If you have that verse all by itself, you don't necessarily know what it means to pay attention to yourself as an elder, or to the church, or to how to care for the church, just in that verse. But we keep reading. Verse 29 says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. We understand here this is figurative language. He's not talking about furry animals on all fours. Just as the people of God aren't sheep, woolly and bleeding. Right? Wolves are who? Who are wolves here? After my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men. They're men! Speaking twisted things. To draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I, Paul is speaking here, did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God. Remember, he's talking to the elders of Ephesus. He's not at their church gathering. He has called the elders to him, and he says, now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now we read that word of his grace, and right away we think word means Bible, right? And the answer is yes, it does, but not here. Word here refers to the gospel, which is in our Bible. But the particular message about Jesus, that's what word of grace means. The truth that the carpenter from Nazareth named Jesus really is the Son of God, descendant of David, the Messiah, the Savior of not just Israel, but the world. In our 9 o'clock study, Mike had us looking at the angels pronouncing the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. Once again, very convicting. That was twice today. I need another one, you know. Three hits. Another conviction. This morning, I was very convicting because there was joy They were afraid at first, but he said, be not afraid. Why? Because the message proclaimed by the angels, the very message we proclaim, the very message that the elders are to proclaim and guard against being twisted and perverted into something else is that Jesus is Savior. Now, He is also Judge. He is King. And He will come as such, and every knee will bow. But right now, the message is Jesus is Savior. And there's joy in that, great joy in that. And that's the very message referred to here. Word can be translated message, the message of His grace, the word of His grace. That doesn't exclude the Bible, but that's what's in the Bible. And elders are those who are to make sure that the local body, the church, the sheep, are feeding on that message day in and day out, week after week. Because our tendency and the desire of others from without and at times from within is to turn people, to turn sheep, to turn Christians from that simple truth. It happens in all kinds of ways. Turn the TV on, you'll find the main way. Add Jesus to your life, and you'll get everything you ever wanted. That's not the word of His grace. Oftentimes in churches, what happens? We spend our time in various passages and narratives, people doing this, people doing that, and we preach people and what people did, and now you should go and do that. Granted, Paul makes it clear in Corinthians that what's there is written as an example to us and a warning to us. But if week after week the elders are preaching, be like David, be like Naomi, be like, do this, do that, guess what gets lost? A message, the word of His grace. The word that goes forth by the work of the Holy Spirit. The truth that's to go forth to the church week after week, day after day, particularly, not solely, but particularly through the elders. Paul says the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So the very logical and understandable next question is, how does the Holy Spirit do that? What did we see in Acts 14? He works through other godly, spirit life evidencing, how's that for a phrase, Christians. In Acts, it was Paul and Barnabas. And then Paul writes to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3, to Titus chapter 1, very clear. Titus, I left you in Crete, amongst all those drunkards and gluttons and brutes, I'm referencing Titus, I'm not making that up, right? I left you there to finish up what needs to be finished up, and that is to appoint elders. Paul gives Timothy and Titus, and by the grace of God, us, in His word, qualifications for elders. So, those who are expressing Christ-likeness in their lives, Christians are involved in that. How you do it from situation to situation is going to vary. We don't have Paul and Barnabas here anymore. But we have the scripture that spells out what elders are to do and how their lives are to be characterized. And so, as Christians living by the Spirit acknowledge the men in their midst who meet those qualifications by a work of God, they pray, they fast, lay hands on them, acknowledge them as elders. In so doing, guess who made them overseers? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sets them apart. You might remember what happened with Paul and Barnabas when they were in Antioch, serving away, doing the will of God, teaching and exhorting, and the Holy Spirit told the church, set them apart. So they set them apart, and they sent them on their way. But then it says the Holy Spirit sent them on their way. The Holy Spirit works through what we would call normal, ordinary means to bring about extraordinary ends. What's the extraordinary end? That the word of His grace, that the simple and joyful news that Jesus is the one whom God sent to bring us into a right relationship with Him. Jesus is that one. He is Lord in Christ. That's extraordinary. That message not be lost in our own minds on any given day or in the life of the church. That it would go forth and others would come to faith in Christ as well. That's what's extraordinary. If you're just looking from the outside, so to speak, what would you see? People. And you'd see people appoint certain men as elders. But what we get here in Acts 20:28 is a glimpse behind the curtains, so to speak. This is brought about by the Holy Spirit. So that particular work of the Holy Spirit would go forth and be carried on. So now let me ask that first question again and answer it a little differently. Why do we have elders? Why should we have elders? We should have elders if we want the Holy Spirit to be at work. If we want the ministry of the Holy Spirit to abound, to increase, and to go to others. Not because those men who end up being elders are anything special in and of themselves. By no means they are not. I can speak from first-hand experience because I know Mike pretty well. And now I was thinking about myself. And Mike also, but myself. It's not about me. It's not about... You might be an eye, you might be a hand, you might be a foot, you might be a knee, you might be a pinky toe. It doesn't matter. That's a work of the Spirit. Do you want the ministry, the work of the Holy Spirit to be going on? Do you want to increase? Do you want it to abound? Guess what? It's this simple and this ordinary looking. You don't need to roll in the aisle. You don't need to have some particular experience. You're not missing out on something. Seek first the things that God has made clear. Have biblical elders. Endeavor to be a biblical church. To function in a way that God has made clear the church should function. Recall again that prayer in Acts chapter 4. They don't even mention the Holy Spirit. Their concern with the glory of God and the bold proclamation that Jesus is Lord in Christ. And God says yes to their prayer. And they are filled with the Holy Spirit. They are emboldened and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The focus is not to be on Him. The focus is not to be on particular experiences or this, that, or the other thing. The focus is to be on the message of the word of His grace, the gospel, continually. And elders, overseers, are the one who are given that weighty charge of caring for the souls of God's people. They will be peculiar men at times, challenging men at times, annoying men at times. I'm sure you can think of some other things that describe me. But the men aren't the concern. God's will is the concern, and the work of the Holy Spirit, that the Son continues to be proclaimed and followed. Look what the wolves do. Whether they're from without or within, the end of verse 30, they draw away disciples after them. Disciples are those who are following Christ. And the wolves from without or from within draw away the disciples after themselves. Do you want to continue to be drawn to Christ? Do you want others to be drawn to Christ? That's a work of the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit work that work? In the local church, He works through elders. Why have elders? That the Holy Spirit would work mightily to the blessing of God's people, to those who are not yet God's people, and to God's glory. that simple. It is spectacular, though it's not flashy. And that's the way the Holy Spirit works. And that's a more fuller, even better answer than why have elders? Because it's biblical. Amen. Let's make it personal. Because we want the Holy Spirit to work His work. For souls to be saved, lives to be transformed. And that's the means through which He works. God's people. Local elders, local church. Join me in prayer. Father, maybe I've just seen too many movies or whatever, but I have that tendency to want it to be more mystical, more, I don't know, something else, but isn't that just the way I and we are? Our ways are not Your ways, and Your thoughts are not our thoughts. As beyond our full understanding as You are, how simple and straightforward are Your ways. But we are prone to wander, easily discontent, wanting the one piece of fruit that we think You're keeping from us. Father, be merciful. Grant that we would function, live day in and day out as Your people, and particularly as a local church, so that the work of Your Holy Spirit would abound and the name of Jesus would be proclaimed. The name by which we are able to come before You, and the name by which we offer this prayer. In the name of Jesus.